My guest says she was supernaturally taught how to lose weight. Supernaturally. No diet, no food restrictions, no weight loss supplements. Next on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Centuries have come and gone, offering wisdom and understanding throughout the ages. Today, there should be nothing beyond one's power to discover. And yet, the strange, unusual, and mysterious world of the supernatural defies understanding. Stay tuned for a unique and powerful investigation into a curious, undiscovered universe only on It's Supernatural.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, and it seems as though you can't pick up a newspaper, a magazine, watch television without seeing someone that is thin and sexy, and it seems as though all of society says, if you're not thin, you're not in, and most of society is fat, let's face it. So everyone seems to be uncomfortable. Everyone's taking diet programs and supplements and changing the way they eat and exercise and exercise and exercise. Wouldn't it be wonderful if there was a supernatural way of controlling your weight? My guest, Lisa Bevere, had a weight problem. She doesn't have a weight problem, as you can see right now, Lisa. It's hard to believe, but you say that a lot of your weight problem came from a bad image about yourself.
Most definitely, from a great problem with fear. And I think that's a major issue for a lot of women. You know, you're making the point that America, a lot of people are fat. We are a country that has more information on weight loss, exercise, diet. We have an abundance on what to do with it. We have an abundance of information, but we have a great lack of transformation in this nation.
And you know what's so amazing to me, mm-hmm. as one that's been up and down myself, I'm part of that mishpucha, that family of the yo-yo. But the thing that's so amazing is there are some diets that say, don't have any meat. Mm-hmm. Then there are other diets that say, eat all the meat you want.
Exactly.
And then there are doctors that say, it's hazardous to your health. And then there's others that say, oh no, that's how you get healthy. That's, look at the cavemen. I mean, it gets very confusing, Lisa.
It is extremely confusing. And then you have to really figure out who you are and how you plug in or whatever. And I really don't believe it's supposed to be that complicated. I really believe that you can eat whatever you want in a moderate way and be healthy. And then I'm not saying only Cheetos and chocolate. I'm saying you can eat, and if you change the reasons why you're eating, you'll change what you're eating automatically.
Let's find out a bit about you. Tell me about your background of areas, let's just call them points, where you were hurt.
Well, I think that we're dealing with a lot of young girls right now and a lot of women, period. As young girls, they were really violated and hurt or wounded at young ages. And because of that, they have allowed their worth to be reduced to something on the outside instead of what was on the inside. I always felt like I had two of me, Sid. I felt like I had the projected image, mm-hmm. and then I had the protected image. The protected one was the real me. The one I was scared that if anybody found out, they might not like me, they might not really, you know, they might reject the real me. So if they rejected the projected me, that was okay, but they weren't going to ever have a chance to do that with the real me. At 5 years old, I lost an eye to cancer. I have an artificial eye.
That's kind of unusual for a child, I would think.
It was totally. And when that happened, you would think people will feel sorry for you or stuff like that, but kids can be really cruel. I remember going to school with a Band-Aid over my eye and not really feeling like that Band-Aid was just over my eye, but it had encompassed and imprisoned my entire body. I remember feeling, you know, that I had become what I was on the outside, that I had become an eye, that I had become the loss of an eye, and having kids make fun of me. And then as I got a little older, when I turned 15, I was always a swimmer from the time I was 5 until the time I was 18. I swam competitively. 1 year I sat out because of an ankle injury. And I came in and I'd eaten like I was still in training. And my father said, come here, let me see you. Turn around. And I remember as soon as he said that, I remember all of a sudden feeling very uncomfortable. And he said, turn around. He said, oh my goodness, you're huge. How much do you weigh? And I said, I don't know. At 15, I only weighed myself for, you know, physicals or camp. You know, just as a weight was a function of growth. It was not how I measured myself.
So you were unaware until it was pointed out
exactly.
to you.
Exactly. Well, I was feeling that little uncomfortableness, mm-hmm. but not to the level. And my father said, you're at least 140 pounds. There's no way you should weigh that much. You go back there and weigh yourself. And I remember feeling just this darkness come over me. I went back, I got on the scales, and sure enough, he was right. I came back and I said, you know, I'm 139. He said, oh, that's just weight. You're never going to have any dates. Nobody's going to ask you out. You need to lose weight.
And you
fat.
Know what? He probably
he
said
thought
it
he was helping me.
Yeah.
He thought he was
but
helping
you
me.
You know, as I understand, those things are called curses.
Exactly. Exactly. And the father has such the power to bless or curse his children. Hmm. And you know, the daughter, how she reacts with her father is how she's going to look for approval from men. And so here I was, you know, and I said, okay, disciplined person, extreme person that I'm at. I went back into my room. I took off my clothes, didn't have a full-length mirror, and I stood on my bed. And I remember it was really interesting because all I had was like a headless image. And I looked at my body, and I thought, you're the enemy. You have got to be controlled. You have been brought to be downlight. I am going to make you lose weight. You're disgusting. You're gross. And I began to berate myself and thinking, if I punish myself, then I would never cross that line. And I cut back on my food and exercise and started running. And at first, I was able, being 15 years old, to drop my weight very fast. Mm-hmm. Went to school 2 weeks later. Everybody was like, wow, look at you. What have you been doing? Oh, you've lost weight. I'd lost about 10, 15 pounds. Mm-hmm. And they were like, wow, you look great. And I thought, okay. When I'm thin, I deserve love. When I'm thin, I'm in control of my life. When I'm thin, I'm successful. When I'm fat, I'm out of control. I don't deserve love, and I deserve to be rejected. And so I drew that line. Now, at 15, I was okay for a while. I swam the next year, kept going. Then I went away to college, and I went to college at University of Arizona. And all the girls are about this big around, and they're blonde from California, and I was an Indiana corn-fed heifer. All of a sudden, I was a little bit hefty now. And I remember thinking, I've got to get thinner. I've got to get thinner. And I got to the place where I was 103 pounds, and yet I looked in the mirror and saw myself as fat. Didn't see the veins, didn't see the gauntness, didn't see the bones sticking out of my neck. I remember I had a sorority sister sit me down and say, Lisa, you're too thin. And I thought, she's jealous. She's jealous. Because I had a voice that was always telling me, you're not thin enough.
That voice wasn't a friend of yours, though. It was an enemy.
It starts out as a friend, and it becomes a tyrant. It becomes an accuser. It constantly rides you, and it refuses to ever be pleased. And that is how a tyrant gains control, by never rewarding you, always just having that carrot just right in front of your face. And so I live to please that voice, but it isn't your friend. It's your enemy, and it's there to destroy you.
You were actually a slave.
Yes, I was. I was in captivity. And there's 1,000 women that will die this year from eating disorders in America alone. And that's just what we know of. There's millions of women in America that are affected by this. And you know what? It's actually starting to affect men. They're not big enough. They don't worry about being too thin. They worry about not being big enough.
Now it's lifting the weights.
It's all becoming imprisoned to the outside instead of who you are on the inside.
You, in your book, you talk about an understanding of a human that very few people have a comprehension, that a human is divided into three parts. Psychiatry usually talks about two parts.
Right. Well, I believe that who we are on the outside is actually the smallest reflection of who we really are. I am a spirit. I have a soul, which is my mind, my will, and emotions, and I live in a body. Someday my body's going to die, but I believe that my spirit will go to be with God. Now, your emotions and things are all affected by how you're raised, the kind of things you have. And I believe what happened with me, there was a wounding in my soul that had a spiritual hold on my life, where I have when you have a wound and you have a valid need for something, you can try to meet that thing invalidly. And that's what I tried to do with the weight thing. But what happens is that hit me at such a level that I had a spiritual voice constantly attacking me and saying, you're not good enough. And because of the vulnerability, I was not in a place where I could really be strong spiritually, where I say, this is a lie. I am not what I am on the outside.
How about you? Are you listening to lies? Are you relating to what Lisa is saying? You're about ready to have one of the most wonderful experiences of your life. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Hello, YouTube Mishpocha. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural. Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. I'm here with Lisa Bevere, who has found a not a natural, but a supernatural way to change the way you think about yourself, which will have the effect. Well, take a look at Lisa. I mean, obviously, whatever you're into is working.
Well, and if anybody saw what I did, they would not believe that I really was doing anything. I do not exercise. Now, I'm not saying we should not exercise, but I have four sons, and so I don't really have a whole lot of time for mommy time. It's all mommy, nothing for myself. But I don't exercise. I don't diet. I don't count calories. I don't worry what I eat.
No weight supplements?
No weight supplements. I don't believe that you have to do that. I really believe, Sid, that the unseen controls the scene. And if you can change yourself from the inside out, then sooner or later what's on inside will change what's on the outside. You know, I had such a controlling spirit of fear over my life, where I constantly feared rejection, failure. I constantly looked at myself and said, comparatively wise, I don't meet up, I'm not acceptable. And I think every single woman in America battles that. I mean, every time you just go to the grocery store, you see these women that, you know, are cleavage and thin and, you know, sexually desirable, and you're there with your kids and the grocery carts, and you know, you're thinking, I can't be that. There's a constant failing, there's a constant image being sent to women that we constantly have in front of us. Whether we realize it or not, we're being bombarded with an image that is a lie. It's not even the truth. It's not even real.
Where are we as far as history goes? We're repeating ourselves, most definitely. Tell me what stage we're
at. Well, you know, it's amazing. We are almost like the Roman culture. We have really returned to a hedonistic culture where everything is measured by self-gratification. And it's interesting because the Bible predicts that in the last days this would happen. God says that because people will not recognize him as creator or be thankful and just say, you've done so much. Look at this beautiful mountains. Look at this beautiful. When they went to, he says, he turns them over to be mastered by the lusts that burn within them. And what happens when you have lust mastering you? You try to satiate it. You try to do anything you can to satisfy that. And so what happens? We have a culture that their goal is to be sexually attractive. And that really is the goal of any fallen culture. That was the goal of the Roman culture. You know, they would eat and then throw up. It's interesting. Now
that's the same thing of the anorexia.
They actually elevate it to a vomitorian, where the men and the women, you would eat these elaborate banquets, and then you would go over and throw up. And we have really gotten to that place where, you know, it's a little bit different. There's a little bit twist on it. Theirs was just, we like the taste. Now we're full. We can't eat anymore. Let's throw up so we can eat more.
And look at all the diseases we have in society. Somehow it's all got to be connected.
Exactly. And, you know, and I really believe that when we violate natural laws, when we call evil good and good evil, when we do not esteem what is to be esteemed, when we esteem the base and hate the pure, then we do things in our life that break the laws that govern us physically, that introduce disease, introduce different problems. And we have, you know, these women that are dying because they won't eat, and yet we have an abundance of food. You know, they're starving themselves in the midst of abundance. And that has to be spiritual. And it can't be reasoned with. You know, we have a lot of counseling centers that are really trying to help these women right now. I get a lot of letters. The name of my book is You Are Not What You Weigh, because I'm trying to say to the women, you're not what you weigh. You think that once you're 117 pounds and 5'6" and everything's going to be happy in your life, but you're wrong. You're not, that's not what you are. You're something so different, something so much more valuable. And if you will escape that prison and that tyranny of that lie and turn to the truth and come out of that dark cellar that you've lived in for so long, then you're going to find out the truth. And when you know the truth, it's going to set you free.
What happened to you?
Well, with me, I had this eating disorder from the time I was 15 till the time I was 21. And at about that time, I met the most wonderful man I've ever had in my life, and I married him. I thought, you know, he's this wonderful, we gotta get married. So I married him, but I went back home. And when I went back home, I went back to everything I had been around. At this point, I had been overweight, anorexic, and now I had become a Christian. And Christians don't drink, they don't smoke, but they eat. And, you know, God doesn't say that gluttony is okay, and drinking and smoking is wrong. God says anything that masters you is not healthy.
That's an acceptable sin.
Christians tend to judge what they're not in bondage to. And so, you know, that was an acceptable thing. You know, we're not in bondage to cigarettes, we're not in bondage to alcohol, we're in bondage to food, but that's all right. And so I went from being underweight to being overweight again. And John and I had gotten married, I had bought a wedding gown, and about 3 weeks before my wedding, I needed to go in and get a slip for it. Well, when I went in, I couldn't get the gown on. It was about this far apart, and I had gained so much weight.
In just that short period of
time? Well, in about 2 months, I had gained quite a bit of weight. And when you have done the anorexic thing, what happens is you're afraid to start eating because you're afraid you won't be able to stop. And when you do that to your body, you will gain weight very rapidly because your body, when you start to feed it, says, oh my goodness, she's finally eating, let's store it.
I've been told that your metabolism
changes
when you lose weight and gain weight and lose weight and gain weight.
My metabolism was so destroyed, and I had done the laxatives and the diuretics for so long that I had really abused my body. I could eat an apple and not lose any weight. I could, you know, eat everything in the refrigerator. I could not be moderate. I could eat nothing or everything, but I could not be moderate. There was no middle baseline. And I had just realized I had outgrown my, you know, wedding gown that my parents had paid a lot of money for. And I came home and I threw myself down the floor. I started crying and I said, this is not fair. This is not fair. And I really was mad at God. I said, you've made me so messed up. I can eat this and I can't, you know, this is not fair. And I cried and I was angry and I was scared. And then I heard a voice say to me, your weight is an idol to you. Food is an idol to you. Now, when I heard idol, I thought of my children's Bible, this little golden calf.
What does idol mean?
What does an idol mean? And God said, it's what you give your strength to and draw your strength from. It's how you spend yourself. It's what you think about all the time. It's what controls you. It's what accuses you. And he said, if you will repent, which means turn from it, if you'll repent, I'll heal you. And then he said, and I'm going to tell you what you should weigh. Not Vogue, not Shape, not Glamour. I made you. And I'm going to tell you. No, see, I was kind of sitting there going, I had never put God into this part of my life. You would care about that? God, you're involved in this?
Yeah, you would think God isn't interested in what you weigh.
But he,
a doctor
but
you go to for your
weight. But
he's interested
in anything that holds his children captive.
So God told you what you should weigh?
Exactly. And he gave me a number. And I, at the time, now you've got to understand how warped my idea was. I wanted to weigh 83 pounds at one point.
83?
Yeah, now I'm 5'7", wanted to weigh 83, and people say,
sideways, we wouldn't see you.
No. I would be dead. But the reason where I got that figure from was I remembered in eighth grade feeling thin. And that was the last time I remember being comfortable with myself before I started puberty, before everything else. And I wanted to go back to that. So I felt like if I could go back to 83 pounds, then I would be free.
83 pounds?
Yeah,
well, let's find out.
Terrible.
What God did in her life, because what God did for Lisa, he wants to do for you. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Hello. Sid Roth back again with Lisa Bevere, and I know you can hardly wait. Lisa,
yeah.
So you want to go down to being twiggy.
Beyond that, from being way unhealthy. But God gave me a figure, and it was much more than the 83 pounds, but it was much less than where I was at that point. I think I was about 140 at that point, and it was 116 was the weight he gave me. And I tore it off, and the little piece of paper, and I stuck it in my Bible.
Did he give you instructions on how to get down to that
exactly.
weight?
Exactly. And then he said something to me. He said, now, no more dieting, no more weighing yourself. Now, I weighed myself incessantly. I mean, 8 times a day, at least. People with eating disorders constantly do that. So I climbed up in the attic, I put my scales away, and I said, okay, no more dieting. All right, I can do that. How am I going to lose this weight? Then God, and I started to panic, and God said, no more dieting, I want you to go on a fast. I said, a fast? Wait a minute.
Had you ever been on a fast?
Yes, I had, but not really a true fast. I kind of did those things. I need to hear from God, I need to lose some weight, I think I just want to eat today. But God said, no, you don't understand. He said, what I'm talking to you about is totally different than anything you've done. He said, a diet will change the way you look, but a fast will change the way you live. He said, a diet will change your appearance, but the fast will change the way you see things for the rest of your life. He said, a diet is a denial of food. He said, a fast is the time when you find out I am enough to sustain you. And I didn't believe he was. I didn't believe that God was enough to sustain me, Sid. I believe I had to have food. I believe I had to have the approval of other people. I believe I lived for that. So I said, all right. And I remember thinking, God is calling me to Himself for the next 3 days. And I went on a juice and distilled water and water fast for the next 3 days. And I was not anorexic at this time. I was overweight. I don't believe He would have had me fast at that time if I had been underweight. And for the next 3 days, I just said, I'm changing my focus. I'm changing the way. I'm not going to look at these things. I'd hear whispering. I'd hear, go weigh yourself. I bet you're losing weight. Just go. It'll encourage you. I think, no, I'm not doing that. And for the next 3 days, I just said, God, you know, you made me. You need to heal this area in me that's been wounded, that has made me so vulnerable. And during that time, just totally changed. Then after I came off, He said, now I'm going to teach you to eat until you're satisfied, not until you're uncomfortable. I didn't know how to stop eating until I was in pain. I thought you stopped eating when you could not eat anymore.
Yeah, I came from a culture where my parents said, the children in Europe are starving.
Starving. Food is love.
Eat.
Oh, I used to say, can we send that to them? I don't want this. But, you know, but I'm from an Italian background. Same thing. You eat. You know, we love you by feeding you. And so I remembered pushing away and saying, I'm done. And I remember my mom saying, you don't like it? You know, I said, oh, no, I like it, but I'm satisfied. And you know what I had to do to get that? I had to acknowledge God's involvement before I ate. You know, it's amazing. Everybody will say grace. Why do we say grace? It says we offer up our food with prayer and thanksgiving. We say, all right, God, you have provided this food for me. It's not my source. It's not what gives me contentment. It's for my strength. And I'm going to ask you to show me when I'm satisfied, not when I'm engorged, not when I'm in pain.
How long did it take for this change of, basically, it's a total change
of
thinking.
It was a total change of thinking. And it happened on the fast, and it was immediately, it changed my life. Now, I can't tell you that the voice didn't ever try to come back. When I was pregnant with my first child, I remember being on the doctor's table, and he said, whoa, you gained 8 pounds in 1 month. And he said, you better stop this. You're going to be way too big. And I remember coming off the table, this is in Dallas, and saying to him, listen, I'm 5'7", I weigh 135, I'm 6 months pregnant, don't you dare say that to me. There's a lot of women that are 5'7", they weigh 135 when they're not pregnant. You know, it's a cultural thing where there's a fear thing with this weight. I said, no, I'm not gonna do this. But now I have been married for 17 years, I have 4 kids.
So this has been going on for 17 years?
17 years, 4 children, and God has been faithful. If I will eat until I'm satisfied, then I'm fine. You know, it's amazing, the Bible talks about this woman named Sarah, who was beautiful in 75, 100 years old, so beautiful that kings were taking her from her husband. And it says that we can be her daughters if we don't give way to hysterical fears. It doesn't say anything about running aerobics in the desert. It doesn't say anything about diet and exercise plans. It says if we don't live in fear. And fear is such a governing force. I believe that our culture right now is so fearful, so self-motivated, so self-conscious. That is what we got in the garden. When Adam and Eve ate the fruit, immediately they realized they were naked. They became entrapped to the outside, when God really wants us to be free from the inside
out.
Would
you like to be free? Would you like to be free from the inside out? Lisa said that the first thing she did is she repented of having an idol. The idol in Lisa's life, food. What's the idol in your life? Sports, money, sex, drugs, alcohol. What is your idol? Repent of that. Say, God, I've replaced you with my idol. And I don't want my idol. I want you. I need you, God. I need you. Please forgive me. I believe that Jesus died for my sin. And by His blood, it's washed away, and I'm clean. But I need your help every minute of every day. Come inside of me. Take over my life. I make you Lord over my eating, over everything. And Lord, if I do anything that's displeasing, show me, and I'll be quick to repent. I want to know you more than anything else. Change me. It's not just my weight, it's my everything. I need change, and you're my only hope, and I turn to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you that you hear my prayers. that you have something better for me than I have right now. My heart's cry is there must be something more, and now I know there is. You, you're the more. I make you not just my Savior so I go to heaven. I make you my Lord. I need you desperately. I have such a passion for you, God. I need you, Lord. I need you.